I had stands yesterday, actually.
Oh, God. And you didn't invite us.
What time did you go?
Well, my mom got some, and I just, like, had them. I had a donut post-workout. It was fucking awesome.
Gains?
Dude, carbs.
Carbs.
Post-workout carbs.
Oh, that's right. Has it been a jet broke his leg?
Oh, yeah.
Fibula.
Oh, God. That looked awful.
But keep hating.
God. So many injuries.
I know. I'm making a list.
Are you checking it twice?
Welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. It is November 23rd, 2016, aka my birthday.
Your birthday.
I am joined by my two regular co-hosts, Nick and Joe Berger, after a brief sabbatical where I had Jordan Dix on over the weekend. Great interview. Shout out to Jordan Dix for coming on and talking a little Stars hockey. Very instructional interview. I advise anyone who listens to this podcast to go back and listen to that. But the Garage Hockey Podcast, as you know it, as you've come to know, is back. Guys, how are you doing?
Feelings are a little hurt. Didn't know that you were going to be going behind our backs without us.
Except that you edited the entire episode.
Except that I edited the entire thing. I was in on it the whole time.
Joe, you're back in the studio. Thoughts?
I'm just, you know, I'm happy to be back
you're
in the lineup.
You're going
to
throw me a platitude. All right. So.
It's not fun being a healthy scratch.
The 2016-17 National Hockey League season is well underway. And there's been a little time that's passed since, you know, our predictions. We've had a couple of pods here and there since the beginning of the season. But now we finally get some meaty news to bite into and really, you know, disseminate to the rest of our listeners and get some good analysis here. The theme of the day, or at least one of the biggest themes that we're going to have on this pod, injuries to notable names in the National Hockey League, such as Steven Stamkos, Taylor Hall, and Johnny Gaudreau. Well, actually known as Gaudreau, but I like saying Gaudreau because he's really good.
Johnny Hockey.
Let's start with Steven Stamkos, a torn meniscus, which is basically not something you want to hear, especially, like, you know, if you play fantasy football or something. In hockey, it's not quite as bad because the season isn't 16 games long. It's actually 82. He's going to be out for 4 months, and this is really just, I don't want to say crippling news for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but it's certainly, it's a hill to climb that, you know, they didn't foresee having to go through. You know, Stamkos has been hurt in the past. He's had a broken fibula. Even last season, blood clots. I mean, that's a scary thing. Blood clots kept him out until Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Final. So they've had to deal with their fair share of injuries to their star player, the first overall pick of the 2008 draft in the past. I mean, I'll start it off here. You know, Steven Stamkos, to me, is one of the premier players, or at least goal scorers in the NHL. The last player to have scored 60 goals, scored 65, I believe, in, was it 09? It was 2011, I think. But yeah, just a fantastic goal scorer. And personally, I think that the Lightning are going to miss him quite a bit. Nick, do you think they're going to miss a beat? Or is this all just kind of a wash considering the timeline of the injury?
I don't think it's a wash. But the first thing that came to mind when he got hurt was, thank God they have Nikita Kucherov.
Yes. Because he's very good.
He's sort of...
He's very good at hockey.
Yeah, He's like, it's like whenever Crosby gets hurt or whenever Malkin gets hurt, it's like, oh, well, they have the other one and he's great and he carries a team. And I feel like Kucherov maybe has that ability.
Yes. Joe, do you think something or nothing, Steven Stamkos being out for 4 months?
I mean, losing someone like Steven Stamkos is definitely something, but with how good the Lightning are, like, you know, just the rest of the lineup, it's not as big as something. Like, it's almost sort of nothing. Especially since they have, you know, a bargaining chip with, you know, an extra goal that they could trade if they need to address an issue.
Yes, and I agree with both of you. I think that ultimately this isn't the biggest of deals. That being said, you know, he just signed a long-term deal. So, again, like, there's no pressure for him to come back, you know, at least personally, because he doesn't have to come back and prove himself to get that next deal. He signed the deal this summer. 8 years, I believe it was. Look, I think it's a big blow. Like, it can't not be a big blow. As much as well structured as the Tampa Bay Lightning are, I don't think anyone can argue that this isn't going to hurt them. And I don't think either of you guys are saying that. But for the Tampa Bay Lightning, it's really become a matter, and they've gotten to this point, which I think good teams sort of get to in every sport, is that the regular season sort of becomes irrelevant. You know, like, for them, it's all about, I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead here, but for them, it's all about, all right, can we beat Pittsburgh in the Eastern Conference Final?
Right. I mean, it's kind of like the Golden State Warriors, where it's like, okay, we know we're going to be there,
like, none of this actually matters.
Yeah, like, we're just trying stuff right now.
And, I mean, considering where the ceiling is for the Lightning, which is, you know, potentially Stanley Cup champions, when you look at the regular season, because of how high their ceiling is, like, you know, their basement is sort of, like, even if they don't do that well, they're still only finishing, like, 6th or 7th or 8th. Like, they're still going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Without Steven Stamkos, again, the last player in NHL history to have scored 60 goals or more in a season, even without him, they're still going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, how many teams could actually say that? To lose a premier goal scorer and still make the playoffs rather easily.
Yeah, it just speaks to their depth with Kucherov and Johnson and Hedman.
Andre Palat. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like, they don't have Jonathan Marchessault anymore, but Jonathan Drouin
yeah.
is there.
Well, he's injured right now.
Anton Strahlman, yeah.
Right, and he's still injured?
He might be back. Anyway, our fact checkers will get on that. But, you know, and even in net, you know, you got Ben Bishop and Andre Vasilevsky. And Andre Vasilevsky, who might even be better than Ben Bishop at this point. But yeah, like, I think that I agree with you. The Lightning, it's just a matter of getting through the regular season relatively unscathed. But I will say this, though. I think that the Atlantic Division is a little thornier than we might have expected it. Because the Habs look pretty good. The Bruins look pretty good.
Tuukka Rask is back.
Like, the Bruins look like a real team. Yeah. I don't think we expected that.
We sort of expected them to be more like New Jersey, where they have one line.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, some supporting
but
cast members.
They have two lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Ryan Spooner has been a bit of a revelation. Maybe not for them, but for the rest of the league. I think he's good.
And Boston is, like, firmly in the mix in that division without significant contributions from Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand, their two best players.
Yeah,
so
that's crazy.
So that's even more of a testament to what's going on around them.
Yeah, and then you got Boston, and don't forget the Florida Panthers, who just got back Nick Bjugstad, who's a very good, sizable goal scorer in his own right. Like, the Florida Panthers are a very deep team, and they only got deeper over the summer.
The aforementioned Marchessault.
The aforementioned Marchessault.
I tried to get through that name quickly because I'm still not entirely sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah. And they added Jason Demers and Keith Yandel. Like, think about that. They added both of those guys who are both very good defensemen, especially in transitioning the puck. Got both of those guys in relatively cheap deals. Like, they've only made themselves better in the last few months here. And, like that team as well could be a team that could go three rounds, you know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, it certainly seems that way.
It's possible.
They looked very good against San Jose a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, I see them getting over the hill and definitely not losing to the Islanders again because,
like,
you know.
Jaromir Jagr at age 45 is better than a lot of players are at age, like, 23, which is nuts.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Alexander Barkov. I think Huberto is out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's still out.
Huberto's out.
Drouin is back in to tie up that loose string.
Yes. But look, the Atlantic Division is no pushover. And so as much as we want to, you know, chalk up the Stamkos injury to, you know, like, okay, for the Lightning, they're this good, the regular season matter, I think to some degree that's true, but hockey's a funny game. And when you have competition like that, things can go, you know, in interesting directions. That being said, even without Steven Stamkos, I still think the Tampa Bay Lightning are better almost everyone in the Atlantic Division.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, which is weird to say. Like, really, really weird to say.
I think they did this last year.
Like, yeah, they've done it. Like, they've straight up done it.
They
yeah.
got to the conference final without Steven Stamkos.
And they were a game shy of getting, no, they were a game shy of getting back to the Stanley Cup final for the second time in a row.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. They'll be fine.
It's a familiar story.
It might sting a little bit in the meantime, but they'll be fine.
Yeah. Not ideal, but they'll be fine.
Not ideal. Let's talk another major injury to a team that is nowhere near, you could say, the comfort level of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Calgary Flames, a team that Joe, across the table from me, was very high on in the preseason. And I think not without reason, because they got a new coach who wasn't named Bob Hartley.
And you would expect, you know, any coach not named Bob Hartley would at least be better than Bob Hartley.
And they have a top three on defense, which is, I think, one of the very best in the NHL, with Mark Giordano, Dougie Hamilton, and TJ Brody. And then you throw in the quality they have up front, the fact that they finally have two real goaltenders in Chad Johnson and Brian Elliott, and it looked like you had the makings of a playoff team. Hasn't turned out that way. Why is that?
I mean, Brian Elliott has not played well. Like, he started off the first few games playing awful, and then the next few games he played really well, and then the next few games, and sort of ever since then, he's played awfully. So he was out for a little bit. I think they were, you know, just, you know, gave him some time on the bench to collect himself and put him back in just recently.
But the thing with the Flames, though, is that as much as Brian Elliott is the guy that maybe you could point the finger at, a lot of the optimism was centered around the fact that they were going to have a coach who could maybe turn around their 5-on-5 game. Under Bob Hartley, the Flames are one of the worst teams historically in terms of shot attempt differential. Basically, every game they played, it felt like the ice was tilted against them. The thought was, without Hartley, we're going to get a guy who's going to change that. Hasn't been the case. They're still one of the very worst possession teams in the NHL. So as much as I think maybe it'd be easy to pin it on a guy like Elliott, I don't think it's fully on him. They're still kind of porous defensively, which is so bizarre considering the talent they have on the blue line.
Yeah, and then isn't Dougie Hamilton's name even being floated around?
Yeah, like, in trade rumors.
In trade rumors.
But anyway, so the Calgary Flames, a team that we expected to be pretty good, hasn't been that good, has actually been pretty bad. I think it's almost safe to say now that they're not going to make the playoffs.
I mean, I thought that they would be better, and this isn't to say that they've got nothing, but I'm wondering if I maybe personally at least overrated their forward group.
Well, you might have, but the reality is, no matter how you felt about their forward group, now they lost their very best player, let alone forward, Johnny Gaudreau, 4 to 6 weeks, a broken finger. I mean, to me, look, they're already out of a playoff spot right now as it stands in the dumpster fire that is the Pacific Division. Johnny Gaudreau out at the most 6 weeks, broken finger. He's their best player. They need him to get back in the playoff picture. Now they don't have him. Is there any hope for this Flames season outside of everyone else sucking for the next like month and a half?
I mean, being in the Pacific Division, like it's
anything can happen.
Like right now, like it's a jumble, and you know we saw last year, the Arizona Coyotes, they got hot like around between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they were in, I think, first place in the Pacific for a couple days, and then they started their slump again. So, you know, maybe it could be something as simple as the players still trying to get used to Gullickson's you know, system.
Style.
Like we've seen that before, where, you know, some coaches, like, it takes a while to grasp their system.
Yeah.
Like Joe Thornton said last year with the Sharks, you know, it was a couple months for him to get used to DeBoer's style, and then you saw him in the end of December go on a tear, and he was like barely a point per game. So, you know, it's entirely possible that you could see the Flames get on a hot streak, and then, you know, that'll put them in good positioning, and then, you know, maybe they'll come back down to earth a little bit. But right now, especially with the way Brian Elliott's playing, his save percentage right now is .882.
That's bad.
Yeah, but my thing with the Flames, though, is that, like, I totally think that, you know, the whole notion that maybe they're just getting used to the new coach and this is a feeling out process. I certainly think that that has to play a part, no matter how good or bad they are in the early going. But on the same hand, they're like actually bad.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, they're kind of teetering below average. Like, they're horrible with the way they're playing right now. And it's not that much different from the past 2 years, past 3 years. And that's concerning.
Yeah.
Because you would expect at least somewhat of a jump.
Because one of the big reasons why I was so high on them in the offseason was the way they played in the playoffs, not last year, but the year before against Anaheim. You know, they were backed into a corner a few times in that series, and they fought their way out of it. Like, there was fight in them. And I was thinking, you know what? You know, I hate this cliche. They have character. You know, that's what they were showing. And, you know, they definitely have skill. And, you know, the roster looks pretty good. And then they're just coming out flat. And just not doing it. Like you said, playing bad. And they're not showing any of that resilience they showed in the playoffs.
The good news for them is they're only 4 points behind San Jose and 5 behind Anaheim. They're bad at home, though. Like, they're like 3-5-1. Like,
yeah, I just think now without Gaudreau, it's, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it just got way more difficult because he's everything for that team. You know, he's the offensive catalyst, even strength, power play.
And for that chunk of the season, like, they're just
4 to 6 weeks is a long time if you're a team that's on the bubble.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't really have, because they're not deep, you know, like good top end talent, but no depth.
Yeah.
So to me, this is, I don't want to say it's a death blow, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
Like I said, they're really going to have to fight.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe Gullitson's, you know, teachings will be instilled in the next few weeks and they'll get better, but...
You know, they need to bring in Mike Yeo to break a stick.
That'd be a dramatic turnaround. I mean, if they can get better goaltending and they just get a little more hot, you know, offensively, shooting-wise... That could carry them for a little while here, but I don't know. That team isn't making the playoffs. I feel like it's already pretty safe to say, which is weird because it's like just barely December here.
I'm gonna hold back and hold back on giving an opinion right now so that I can possibly still reserve the right for saying I told you so at the end of the season.
I think they're done.
I mean, an 8.82 save percentage is so bad that it's almost unsustainable.
I don't know. I just don't see a path to the playoffs for them now, because the Central is still there and they're going to occupy wild cards. And then for the most part, well, we'll get to this later, but for the most part, the Pacific is healthy. So it's like, I just don't see a path for them unless like they have the hottest second half of like any team ever.
I should point out right now that Chicago and St. Louis are really the only good teams in the Central right now. Like, third is Dallas, and they're not good.
Well, yeah, I mean, third according to the standings, but to me, like, Dallas is in there, but, like, the third team is Winnipeg, you know?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is...
But Winnipeg is very up and down.
Those wild card spots might be up for grabs. I still think both of them are going to the Central, but they, at the moment, in...
Because Nashville is...
Looking, in November,
Nashville's looking grabs. A lot better.
Yeah.
Like, Nashville's actually playing like a real team.
Yeah, they've rebounded nicely since their slow start.
Yeah, so we've talked a little Gaudreau. Let's head out east now. New Jersey Devils lose Taylor Hall, torn meniscus, 3 to 4 weeks, not nearly as long as some of these other you know,
injuries.
I was trying to say diagnoses or diagnosis. Anyway. Not nearly as long as some of these other players. For Taylor Hall and the New Jersey Devils, I also feel like this is a pretty big blow because the New Jersey Devils are a team that's trying to make the playoffs this season. And to lose the guy, look at it this way. They traded Adam Larson to get Taylor Hall.
Good trade.
Very, very, very good trade. But now they don't have Adam Larson or Taylor Hall for the next month. Like, that's pretty tough.
Yeah. I mean, they played against San Jose the other day and got romped like 4-0, I think, and they looked lifeless.
Yeah.
Like, with the exception of a couple of stretches, they looked very flat And breaking news, they missed Taylor Hall. Who would have thought?
Yeah, and they also are missing Mike Camilleri.
Mike Camilleri as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so like the... Man, I mean, like, I like the New Jersey Devils. I like the team they've kind of pieced together. And plus, they have Corey Schneider in and net.
That's what I was going to say.
Who's, like, amazing.
It's just... I think he's had a... I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I have this right. Corey Schneider has had a 920 save percentage or better each of the last 6 years.
Yes, that's factual.
And it's going to be another waste of a year for him.
Yeah, like Corey Schneider is amazing.
He's great.
And he deserves a better team in front of him.
He should have started for Team USA.
Oh, yeah, let's mention that briefly. Jonathan Quick, who has proven himself to be an average NHL goaltender throughout his career, started in place of Corey Schneider, who has done everything he can to show that he's way above average his entire career, like literally from start all the way to now. So yeah, I think it's a huge blow for the Devils. I also think that they had a shot at the playoffs with everyone healthy, because you look at the way that the Metro is looking, and like the Islanders are terrible.
They're so bad.
And, you know, like the Rangers, the Caps, and the Pens are locks for 1-2-3 in some sort of order. But after that, you know, those last two wildcard spots in the East are way up for grabs. Like, I actually think, and other people have been saying this, and I actually agree, that the East is a little deeper than the West this year. I think the competition is a lot tighter than it is at West. Because in the West, we kind of already know who's good and who's bad. In the East, it's kind of up for grabs, and that makes it more fun.
Yeah, look at Columbus being 2 points ahead of New Jersey.
Yeah, like Columbus.
Like, their record actually looks kind of nice.
Yeah, I mean, Columbus is actually not all that good, but they're riding this insane, like, shooting percentage streak.
They're the Minnesota Vikings of the NHL.
Yeah, like they're getting, you know, they're getting great goaltending and great puck luck, and that's what this looks like right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now the Vezina conversation is Carey Price, Sergei Bobrovsky, and Corey Crawford.
I would flip that and say Price, Crawford, Bobrovsky.
I wasn't going in order.
Oh, okay. Dude, I think was it through the first 3 weeks of the season, Crawford at even strength, his save percentage was 98%.
Mm.
That's an A+.
Like 98%. So yeah, like Columbus. But the interesting thing with Columbus though is that we know that these PDO bubbles burst eventually. You know, with save percentage and shooting percentage, but we never know when.
Right.
Like it can last an entire season. So Columbus could very well be the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh my God.
Or the Calgary Flames of this season, which would be very fun. Which would be very fun.
Wake me up from this weird dream.
We just get, you know, a longer season of John Tortorella.
Yeah. yeah, I mean, and if they make the playoffs, I think John Tortorella is in the Jack Adams conversation.
Oh, man.
Like, it has to be.
Oh, man.
What is happening?
Like, they actually have some
2016.
They have some very good skaters. Like, you know, Wennberg, Werenski.
Yeah.
These are legitimately good players.
Boone Jenner.
Yeah, Boone Jenner, even Cam Atkinson, Seth Jones, Brandon Saad. Like, there's actual talent. But that's how all these teams are. You know, the teams that surprise and aren't actually as good as the record indicates is they have, you know, some fun talent, but the team play itself isn't actually all that solid.
Yeah.
And they get outshot, like, every game, it seems.
Yeah.
And they still win.
Yeah, you don't win like that, especially in the playoffs.
But you might. Like, or, you know, like, it's not, you just never, it's impossible to predict when it's going to burst the bubble because it shouldn't even happen in the first place.
They dictate it, so.
Yeah. Anyway, so we've kind of covered the injury. We have a couple more injuries. I'm going to skip the one that we had on here, one of the ones we had on here, because it doesn't feel all that important. I'm going to skip Mika Zibanejad and go straight to Tomáš Hertel.
Well, two things there. One, more New York Rangers hate from you. Nice. Well done. Staying consistent. Two, the Hertel play on words. Nice. Well done.
So, look, Mika's. I'll give a brief synopsis. Mika's Zibanejad out 6 to 8 weeks. Broken fibula. Sucks. Rangers still going to be very good.
Okay. Yes.
Tomáš Hertel. To me, this actually in a weird way, affects the San Jose Sharks a little bit more. They've been generating shots, shot attempts, scoring chances at a, you know, top five, top three rate in the entire league. But nothing is going in. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And this happens to good teams, you know, all the time. But now they lose one of their better finishers, their better playmakers. Maybe the dry spell will last even longer. Like, who knows? It's going to turn around at some point. And they started slow last season, but I think that losing Hurdle is not only going to hurt the potential for them to break out of this slump, but it's also going to affect their depth a little bit.
Yeah. So the first game without Hurdle was against New Jersey. And like I said, San Jose won 4-0. The dam finally broke. They had another 40-shot game and finally lit the lamp. They put Patrick Marleau up on the top line with Joe Thornton and Joe Pavelski, which is the first time they've done that in forever.
Yeah.
Like, forever. Like,
maybe since McClellan.
Definitely since Todd McClellan. And I have to say, Marleau looked great. All three of those guys played out of their minds, but Marleau looked faster than he's looked all season. Which is not to say that he's been, like, sandbagging on the second or third line or whatever, but he just looked fantastic with Thornton and Pavelski. They called up Danny O'Regan, who is the co-leader in points with the San Jose Barracuda, tied with Nikolai Goldobin with 11 points. They sent O'Regan back down, I think just to play and keep his legs going during the off day. But it'll be interesting to see, do they stick with O'Regan? Do they maybe give Nikolai Goldobin a chance? Do they give Timo Meier a chance, who's not a center but is the number one prospect in the organization? So Hurdle being out for at least weeks, it'll be interesting to see the line juggling that continues.
They already did it, like with like you said, with Marleau, because the first game that I think it was the first game Hurdle actually missed was one against Arizona, where they lost in overtime 3-2.
Oh, I think you are right.
Yeah. And they tried Marleau at Hurdle spot, a third line center, and yeah, that's where his Hurdle's absence is going to be felt the most, is that third line center spot, because that's the role they've been grooming him.
Where's Tierney playing?
Fourth line.
He was the fourth line center for a game recently. Scored his first goal of the season the other day. Man, he sniped. But anyway.
But they're really trying to get Hurdle, you know, comfortable in the center position. And, you know, he goes out, and the part of the reason why they called up O'Regan is because he's a center. So, you know, like, that position, the whole Hurdle is left, has already specified who they're bringing up. They're not just bringing up, you know, the next best player in line. You know, they're trying to address, you know, the hole that he's left. And, you know, they tried Marleau down there, and they did not play well against Arizona. They played well in, like, the last 10 minutes. That's great for the last 10 minutes. And then, you know, they switch it up in against New Jersey, and that seemed to work better. And Arizona also, you know, a lot of young talent, but, you know, not too far behind New Jersey.
Yeah.
And so the changes look like they may have actually sparked something.
Yeah, and it was a weaker New Jersey team. Corey Schneider got the night off, so Keith Kincaid was in.
And
Keith Kincaid.
New Jersey was swept in California. They lost all three teams.
Yeah.
So yeah, that might have been, they might have just been having a bad streak.
And then of course Taylor Hall was out, but I mean San Jose was buzzing, like every line.
But San Jose's buzzing every game. Yeah. And that's the interesting thing to me. Yeah.
I mean, yes, they are. Like, they're getting a ton of shot attempts, but they don't look good every game.
Yeah, but no team looks great every game. But, like, I of course they're struggling. But that being said, I just think with them, it's inevitable that they're going to, like, score a ton of goals at some point.
Yeah, the dam will break.
Like, the interesting thing, though, is that the Pacific Division is moving. Like, the Ducks, as, like, mediocre as they were going to be,
as hapless as they are,
they keep getting points.
Yeah.
Like, and the Kings are actually kind of thriving with Peter Budaj as their starting goaltender. And, like, I actually think the Kings look really good. And I've watched a couple of their games now, a couple of their recent games, and, like, they look like the same Kings team, and they've been missing Andrei Kopitar.
Yeah.
And they still look good, you know? And the difference with them is that they get the wins.
Yeah.
And like that's the tricky thing for the Sharks is that it's easy to say, yeah, the goals are going to come back at some point, which they will. This is completely inevitable. But like how far back are they going to be once it starts breaking for them again?
I mean, big picture, I'm not worried. Like
and yeah, I don't think any Sharks fan should be, because honestly, like when you're this good and you're just not scoring, it's just like small sample theater. Yeah. You know, it's going to change.
And a lot of other things are good about their game. Like they up until recently, they had a penalty kill streak of like 25 in a row or something. I think they've got like the fourth best PK.
And Martin Jones hasn't been, I think, what we expected.
He hasn't been that good, but he's showing signs of life. He shut out the Devils.
But Arundel, though.
Arundel.
Two games.
Arundel looks like not bad.
He looks all right.
But yeah, I think that's honestly, for those who don't know, PDO is a stat that you literally, it's just kind of a stat where you add shooting percentage, team shooting percentage, and team save percentage. And the teams, you can outperform basically your shot attempt differential by having a really good PDO. Look no further than the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have a really good shooting percentage while getting outshot every game, and their goalie's playing out of his mind. The Sharks have the other end of that spectrum, where they're getting a ton of chances, a ton of shot attempts, but they're not going in, so they're really low shooting percentage, and their goalie's not playing all that well.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, you know, they're below the 100 mark, which is where you want to be. So, like, I think what's worrying for them, what I'd be maybe more worried about is that, like, the shooting percentage thing is, like, shooting percentage always regresses to the mean.
Mm.
It's just been proven. But goaltending is very unpredictable. And, like, Martin Jones has shown that he's a very good goaltender, but it could be that bad year. You know, and I don't think it's going to happen, but statistically, it's not impossible.
Like, with some of the goals that have gone in on him, it sort of looks like, overall, it sort of looks like it's might be like a focus thing. Like, he's either not getting enough action, or maybe, you know, depending on the team they're playing against, because, you know, they're losing to some teams that they shouldn't be losing to, i.e. Arizona. And he let in an awful goal there that he saw all the way, and it went in blocker's side that, like, he could have easily gotten. And, it, you know, maybe it's a little bit of underestimating your opponent.
I think Arizona in that game scored three goals from
Arizona's outside. Terrible, by the way.
Yeah, they're bad.
Yeah.
They scored, I think, three goals from outside the house in that game.
Yeah, but but Hansel was a tip-in, though.
Mm, yeah, very nice tip-in.
Yeah,
the OT winner.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, some of these goals, like, are just either great plays or deflections or screens. Like, he can't do everything about all these goals. But like Joe said, the one, I think it might have been Domi scoring that blocker side goal. There are just some really smelly, like, bad smelling goals.
Yeah, like, I'm not worried about him either. You know, like, you know, the Sharks or Jones specifically. Like, you know, come playoffs, he'll be fine. He'll be ready. And you know, coming down the home stretch after Christmas break, after the All-Star break, you know, I think you're going to see more of what we saw last year.
Yeah, I'm not worried, because this is very reminiscent of how he played in November last year, where he, even though he had a very nice shutout streak to start the year last year, in general, it was a slow start for Martin Jones, and then he got a lot better around the new year. To get back to a point that Joe made, the thing about Martin Jones that I noticed last year is that he's the guy that's going to stop 44 of 45 shots against, like, Pittsburgh, and then will stop, like 16 of 19 against Arizona. Like, I think
he's John Gibson.
I think he does better with more shots, and that's a cliche.
Yeah.
But it's been kind of a thing.
Yeah, I like Martin Jones a lot. I think that he's literally proven at every step of the way that he's a quality goaltender. But goalies have bad seasons. Like, it's just one of those things that happens. He had a short summer. The Stanley Cup final didn't exactly go his way. I'm just being devil's advocate here, because I think he'll be fine.
I do too.
And I think that the way they play, more importantly, the way they play is conducive to him improving. They're a very sound defensive team.
And he's showing signs of life coming out of it. You know, he just had the 27 save shutout. You know, He's got all the tools. Like, I'm really not worried at all about him.
Yeah.
And he has the ability, I think, to carry a team when he gets hot. We've seen him do it in the Stanley Cup final. So I'm not worried about him. San Jose, I don't think, should be too worried either.
All right. So we've kind of beaten this horse up about the Sharks' struggles and potentially them getting over the hump. Big news, though, in Sharks land today. Brent Burns, 8 years.
$64 million
dollars for Chewbacca.
Yes. Yes. The Wookiee one.
I saw a really funny picture on
sweet reference
on Twitter. Zachary Devine, guy who covers the Sharks over at the Hockey Writers with me, who writes for other sites. Really good guy. You should check him out on Twitter. But he put a picture. He said, news of Brent Burns' contract spreads across the galaxy. And it's that screenshot from episode 3 of Star Wars of all the Wookiees.
Oh, yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah, solid tweet. But, well, I mean, thoughts on Brent Burns being a highly paid man?
My first thought was, awesome. My second thought was, please don't get hurt.
Yeah, I was honestly surprised because I thought the contract negotiations were going to stretch out a little bit longer because there was talk during the offseason that, you know, he's going to be a free agent after this year and, you know, they were going to be looking to re-sign him during the season.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't get anything done in the offseason. It was like, you know, going to focus on playing, you know, the usual dribble. Dribble. So I got on Twitter today and, you know, so I think, was it Pierre LeBrun?
Yep.
His Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but he, like, never uses it.
Yeah, and, you know, the first thing was...
Which I'm, like, really okay with, by the way.
The first thing was, like, very nebulous because he said, like, you know...
Oh, wait, did you say Pierre LeBrun?
Yeah.
Who did you think? I think he said Pierre Maguire. I don't know why. But, yeah, anyway, continue.
Okay, so...
That would be the end of 2016.
Yeah, like, Pierre Maguire on Twitter would suck. But anyway.
Okay.
Don't tell Eddie Olczyk.
And the tweet said, you know, it was, like I said, very nebulous, and there was, like, no specific details. It was, like, something about a player getting something, like, getting a contract done, but it's not confirmed, and don't know what's going on.
Talks heating up.
Yeah, it's, like, there was no context. I did not know who it was about. And then the next one that came out was about, like, you know, the Sharks getting close with Brent Burns, you know. Something might happen today.
But how old is he? Like 31?
31.
He's 31.
So
this takes him to the end of his career.
Let me be sitting in the devil's advocate chair here, as I usually do. What will Brent Burns look like in 8 years? And I don't want to hear any Wookiee jokes. I want do you think his game has the potential to take him into his late 30s and still be decent? Or is this one of those contracts that might look kind of bad in 4 years?
I think his game will have to change.
I think it has to.
It has to, right? After 35, because, you know, the way he plays, like, he's been injured in the past and missed significant time, and the way that's, you know, due to the way he plays, and, you know, naturally he's going, like, you know, when he gets to 39 and he's still in the league in the last year of his contract, he's going to be slower, so his game's going to have to change, like, whether it's, you know, just because of speed and age, or, you know, because of injury, like, it's going to have to change one way or the other, maybe because of both. But, you know, like, you look at, you know, the way he scores goals, you know, like, he doesn't just rely on talent. Like, he's a very, like, he sees the ice very well. So no, I'm not really worried. As long as he stays healthy, I'm not really worried about where his game's going to be at the end of his career. End of his contract, but this, yeah, it's like you said, it's going to be his last contract. You know, like, the way he gets shots through, the passes he makes, like, he has very good vision and very good hockey knowledge. There is going to have to be a shift in his game. Obviously, his production is going to diminish because, you know, the past 2 years, he's been, like, I think this year he leads the league in shots. Last year, he was behind Ovechkin.
Oh, he's been top three for the past, like, 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, so, you know, things are going to change about his game, but he is still going to be productive, and as long as he doesn't get injured, I think he is still going to be a very good contributor. Like, not just, you know, it's like, oh, hey, and Brent Burns is still not bad. You know, it's, you know, like, I think he still will be good, like, around, like, 37.
Well, the interesting thing with Burns is that his aging curve has been not like other players.
Yeah.
He's gotten better
with age
as he's gotten older. His best season was last year,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Yeah.
How many goals? Like 30?
27.
27. Oh, he's gotten 30. Hasn't he gotten 30 goals?
He's never scored 30.
Oh, I thought it was when he was playing
like,
forward.
In the playoffs, he scored like the second, third most goals by a defenseman in the playoffs ever.
But yeah, he's only gotten more productive with age. But the interesting thing, though, is that his productivity isn't just him getting luckier. It's him getting better, getting smarter. He puts every puck he touches in the offensive zone goes at the net.
Success in hockey is all about creating time and space, whether it's for yourself or for your teammates around you. Opening up space for your teammates to do what they want to do. That's how you score goals. And he does it himself, through his skating and his vision, opening up those shooting lanes. You know, there are plenty of times where he'll open up a shooting lane, hoping it gets on net, but he knows that if he misses the net, it's not going to just zip out of the zone. It's going to bounce off the backboards and off to one of the wingers on the side. So, he's shown that he can succeed even if, his body begins to break down.
My only issue with Burns is that, his game is obviously, we don't know where it's headed because he continues to be very good, nearing his mid-30s. My only issue is if he begins to eventually break down, $8 million is a lot for a player who is, at that point, no longer dominant. And you've seen it with other teams. They dole out these big contracts to a guy who's hitting 30, maybe even past 30. Oh, Ryan Kesler. But, it turns on you real quick. But I do agree with your point, though, that I think that if there's anyone who can defy the aging curve, it's Brent Burns because of the way he plays. And he just plays the odds.
Mm-hmm.
You put more pucks on net, and good things will happen.
And let's not forget that it's a front-loaded contract.
So, yeah, what's his cap hit in, let's say, the last 3 years of his contract? Because the annual average value is $8 million, but that's just the average. Yeah. So what are we seeing in the last few years here?
I might need help deciphering this. So in the last 3 years, this is per Chris Johnston of Sportsnet on Twitter.
Very reliable source. Very, very good reporter.
Very reliable. It's in the last 3 years, it's $3.5 million in signing bonuses, $3 million salary. I'm reading this verbatim.
What's the cap hit?
I don't have the cap hit.
Okay. But so it sounds like, and Nick will continue to dig into this as we, go on with this episode, but if they did front load it, that means that's very good news. Because if his cap hit in the last few years is like around $4 million, look, Brent Burns can be an average NHL player at like 40.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? Like a bad Brent Burns is still better than a lot of players.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that's why I'm not super worried. But again, Brent Burns is such a freak, and I mean that in like the most endearing way, that we just don't know what's going to happen with him.
And there's going to be a lot of money coming off the books after this season.
And
listen to this.
Oof,
Thornton, Marlowe, Nieto, Wingles, Carlson, Donskoy, Tierney, Haley. Haley.
Oh,
yeah.
Whoa.
So much money.
The Sharks better watch out. Yeah. Better protect him in the expansion.
Man, otherwise someone's going to swoop him up.
But anyway.
That's $20.5 million.
Wait, that's this summer?
That's this summer.
Thornton and Marlowe are free agents this offseason.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
There are decisions to be made.
Oh, man. Oh. Okay.
You can make it simple. Win the Stanley Cup and they're coming back. But,
I mean, they're going to get their money elsewhere. Like, it's up. Okay. Look, this pod just took a very fun turn. Whatever. We've beaten this to death with the Brent Burns thing. But, let's talk. I didn't even know about this. Let's talk Joe Thornton. Patrick Marlowe's probably not coming back unless he takes a pay cut.
And it sounds like he might.
Thornton and Marlowe have always taken pay cuts. And the other thing about Thornton and Marlowe.
But Marlowe's. I mean, but Thornton's still making. Like, how much is he making? Like six, seven?
Around there.
Yeah, he's still making pretty top dollar.
He is.
So let me ask you this. Let's say the San Jose Sharks, if you're the San Jose Sharks, how much are you willing to pay Joe Thornton to come back? Because you know how good he is, but you also know how old he is. You know, like you're looking at the timetable for your franchise in terms of winning a Stanley Cup. Do you overpay on the front end to maybe get a few more cracks at it? Or do you just say, you know what, we got to kick this can and we just got to start moving forward without Joe Thornton? I think that's that's actually one of the more under-discussed narratives so far in this season.
If this had been this time last year,
I like where this is going.
I would have been considering it, but the way
At this time last year, people were writing off the Sharks.
Yeah,
and then they made the Stanley Cup final.
But you know, ever since the end of last December, he's been he's been great. He's been himself. You know, so like he's productive at 37 right now. He's 37,
and he still looks great. Like he's playing very well.
Like, yeah. How about a 2-year deal? Sign him to the biggest cap hit you can sign him.
I would do that.
Like, do you think he would take that?
He likes 3-year deals. I think.
Here's what
what if some desperate franchise came in and gave him just like a boatload of money?
Wilson would really have to burn a bridge.
Yeah,
like more than he's already done.
More than he's already tried to.
Yeah,
like that's. I mean, he's asked Thornton to waive his no trade clause. Like, I think that bridge isn't burned per se, but it's
rickety.
There's no need to keep it intact, yeah. At least from Thornton's side.
Yeah, but what Thornton and Marlowe have been doing, each has been signing 3-year deals for the past 10 years. So I could see them, either one of them, in this case Thornton, because he's the main target of this, doing a 1 or 2 year deal and just paying him, you know, the most that they can in that time.
I'd be shocked if he signed a 1-year contract. I think if he was going to sign,
oh no, because he's better than that. Yeah, like he's still that's the thing with Thornton, is that he's in his late 30s and he's still like extremely good, extremely productive. Yeah,
his brother, his agent would probably advise him.
That's true.
You're not taking 1-year contract anywhere, like 2 minimum.
Yeah, like he can get that.
Yeah,
and there are teams that will give it to him. Like I think. I hate to say it, the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have the cap room. They have a young team. They're just trying to make the playoffs. And Joe Thornton, Ontario boy.
A London kid.
I'm just saying, like, man, if I call this, y'all owe me something if I call this.
I'll give you a high five, except I won't because I'll be sad.
Well, look, I personally don't want to see Joe Thornton ever leave the Sharks because I feel like this is really... This is like he's the greatest Shark ever.
Yeah,
all respect to Mike Ricci, but
the sexiest man in Denver.
No, all respect to Owen Nolan and Patrick Marleau, but Joe Thornton is the greatest Shark ever, and by extension, one of the best players ever. That being said, like it's up to him really where he sees himself, because, and I guess that's a nice thing in the situation that he really has full control. Because if he wants the money, he'll get it elsewhere.
And we know that...
He doesn't need to stick around.
He can be stubborn. That's the reason why he wasn't traded a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Because he was stubborn.
They asked him to waive his no-trade clause. Like, can you imagine that now in hindsight, asking Joe Thornton to not be on your team?
Huge mistake.
Joe Thornton, after that, kind of hate-fucked the Sharks by just playing awesome and out of his mind. Like, it was a beautiful thing to watch.
I think we just found our title.
I'm calling it, though, that Joe Thornton on the Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't think it's impossible.
I'll buy you a Thornton Maple Leafs jersey if it happens.
As long as it's not the Centennial jersey, but yeah.
Oh, I love that jersey.
I think Marlowe and Thornton both re-sign in the offseason.
Both?
Yeah. Marlowe's taking significantly less, but I think they both re-sign.
Marlowe doesn't deserve what he's making now, like for the coming years.
But if you...
Because what's he got, like 6? He's 6 million now?
Somewhere around, a little more, I think.
I would not pay that guy 6 for the next 3 years.
No, and no one is. No one is.
But the problem is, no, but see, that's where you're wrong. Someone will pay him. Someone will be dumb enough to pay him.
Boston, Backus.
That's what I'm saying. And so, like, with the Sharks, it's going to become supply and demand. Like, we want this guy, but people are going to throw offers at him, and it's going to be up to him whether he wants to take them or not. are we willing to match those offers? He's a UFA. It's not this RFA situation. Dude, you know who would look good with Patrick Marleau? The LA Kings.
That was in talks last year. But
well, he could have gone to the Ducks or the Kings last year.
And the reason why I think both of them are staying is because they have proven in the past.
This is our best pod yet.
Shut the fuck up.
No, but this is like I'm not even being a devil's advocate. Like, I think all this is in play.
I just want to get a comment out without you stroking yourself. That's all. All right. So in the past, they've proven multiple times that they want to stay. So they will take, particularly Marleau, a little less money. I'm not sure how much less. They'll take less money to stay in San Jose. They want to be here. And I think that's why both of them will resign here.
But the thing is, does the franchise want to pay them moving forward? That's the thing. For the Sharks, you can't just think about keeping these guys and taking a few more cracks at it. You have to think long-term health of the franchise. And if you sign Marleau to 3 more years, he's not going to be good in 3 years.
He will not get 3 years. No. Doug Wilson will not give Marleau three years.
But what if someone else throws... That's what I'm saying is, like, if someone else throws 3 years at him...
Then he'll be gone.
Then he'll be gone. And so he's gone. I think Thornton is much more likely to stay.
Oh, 100%.
I say that because I think the Sharks are more likely to pay him and give him the term he wants. I think they should just get rid of Marleau. Not because he's not a good player, just because they're not... Like, he himself shouldn't stay because he can get more money elsewhere. You know, so I don't know. But, like, the Sharks are in a very interesting spot, and I think this is a very interesting conversation.
It's a conversation for the offseason.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's also for now because you look at the way they're playing and they're not getting the results, and if things maintain...
You just went a little too far down devil's advocate hole.
No. Like, this is real. Like, if just the way they're playing, like, I know they're going to rebound, but they still have tough competition in the West. Then they got to beat a really good team in the East. So there's no sure thing they win a Stanley Cup this season, which you can say about any team. But, like, to me, them winning a Stanley Cup is the only ticket to making sure each guy or both guys come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it's more likely that they lose one guy than they keep both.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it seems right now.
The thing about he can get more money elsewhere, though, yes, but it's not about the money for him at this point.
We'll see. We'll see.
But the thing is, I agree with you. I think it's way more likely that Thornton stays. Up until the other night when Marleau looked so good on the top line, I thought I would have said 100% this is going to be Marlowe's last year with San Jose. Yeah. I still think that's pretty likely.
Yeah.
But he looked revitalized in that game. And I know it was against a weaker team, but he looked really, really good.
And some of the Sharks' horses, you know, like Burns, Marleau, Thornton, even Pavelski, these are older guys, like starting to be closer to mid-30s than, you know, late 20s. And they had a short summer, and, you know, Thornton and Burns played in the World Cup. So, like, there's some miles. I mean, there's some serious miles in those bodies, and I'm curious how it's going to play out. And I guess the saving grace for the Sharks and these guys as a whole is that the competition isn't all that deep in the Pacific Division. Unless Edmonton can figure out how to not be terrible, like, half the time, unless the Ducks can figure out to, like, be better than they actually are.
I mean, they sort of have been. They've been stumbling into points left and right.
Because, like, literally, the Oilers started, like, what, 9-1 or 8-1?
I think it's, like, 9-1-1 or 7-1-1.
And then now they're, like, 500.
Yeah.
So, like, it's been split 50-50. And then the Kings are the steadiest ship to me in this division outside of the Sharks because they know who they are. They still have their top guns. Outside of the quick injury, they're relatively healthy, you know, and they found something in Devin Setoguchi, which is, like, kind of crazy to think. So all that to say that the competition for the Sharks isn't all that deep.
Right.
Once they find their form, which they will, it's going to be – they're going to walk into the playoffs. But then you face the Central, which is, again, like – It's no sure thing whether that's going to be easy or whether that's going to be difficult. I think the Chicago Blackhawks right now are a mirage. I don't think they're nearly as good as what their record indicates. A lot of it is Corey Crawford.
It is, yeah.
A lot of it is Richard Ponick.
Yeah.
Shooting like 30%.
The greatest player in the game right now.
we don't really know what to expect from Nashville. I think St. Louis is more of a finished product than a lot of these teams. Winnipeg, like as much as I like their roster, they're up and down. They're like 500. So all these struggles that we talk about with the Sharks, and they're far and few between, but they do have struggles, might not matter all that much. So like this, like the Western Conference script is very much uncertain, which is fun for us because, you know, we have more to talk about.
Yeah. It's always the Wild West.
But it could really go like a number of ways. That's why it's fun to me, at least.
Yeah, there's an infinite number of timelines where weird shit is happening in the West.
Yeah. I mean, like, my own personal belief is that the Sharks will rebound and, you know, very much dominate the Pacific. But then, you know, then you got to beat two really good teams, basically.
Yeah.
And then who knows from there? Because, like, right now, let's say in a 7-game series, would you pick the Sharks over the Penguins?
No.
Like, you know, it's tough to say, but that's right now. We'll see. Like, you know, we still got a trade deadline to go through. Yeah. So.
Yeah, a lot of time left. God, you're just making me think about when I'm not even thinking about when the Penguins won the Cup. I'm thinking about how they spanked San Jose twice already this season.
Yeah, which is crazy.
God.
Pittsburgh looks good.
They do.
Yeah.
They really do. Man, I can't wait to see how the whole Vegas, like, Marc-Andre Fleury
thing. Yeah, so potentially. We've talked a lot about the Sharks, and I'm glad because I think that the Sharks should be one of the league's most talked about teams. They're one of the better teams. We spend a lot of time talking about bad teams, so it's good to talk more about a team like the Sharks. But today, it was announced officially. I should really underline officially that the NHL has officially introduced its 31st franchise, the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yes,
I was saying they're going to drop the Golden.
Yeah, it's going to be like the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, like
where it's going to become Ducks or Green Knights at some point.
When you think about it, you know, like every Pee Wee team, oh, we're like the Blue Crush. Yes. Yeah, like the golden is going to get dropped at some point.
So the Golden Knights, I was hoping for Desert Knights because I felt like that made the most sense.
Yeah, people hated on that name, but I liked it.
Well, because what I liked about it was the double entendre where it's like, oh, Desert Knights, like, you know, a night out of fun in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. But then you throw in the K and it's like, oh, like cool, like this little
double. Medieval.
Yeah.
We have a mascot.
But Golden Knights, I think it's a good start. It's kind of like a bootleg Senators. You know, they got their logo with you know, the gladiator helmet.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I gotta say, it's funny because we've been talking about this new Vegas franchise it's been a few months now, at least on this podcast. And I haven't really been all that excited for whatever reason, but now it feels real. It's like, oh, they got the arena, they're going to get the team, and it's going to be a good team.
I was interested during the first week of July seeing how teams sign players because, you know, they were signing free agents with, you know, trying to keep in mind that, you know, they had to protect certain players and, you know, also not trading certain players, i.e. Ben Bishop, you know. So, you know, like, it was interesting during, you know, signing season, and it'll be interesting again, like, you know, this is all just bunting, you know, like, you know, the logo unveiled, name unveiled, you know, it's just bunting.
Well, I want to see the jerseys.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
That's where the cookie crumbles, the jerseys.
But, I mean, you know, what we're going to see them take...
The roster, yeah.
What we're going to see more indications of the future roster is the trade deadline.
Man.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Craig Button came up with the most fucked up potential roster of all.
Oh, okay, so yeah, did you see my tweet about that?
I did. Yeah, I did. I saved the image so I could tweet back at him when he's wrong.
So, Craig Button, God bless his soul. Anyway, I'll just say this. I'll keep it brief. Tweeted out a potential roster for the Vegas Golden Knights. A roster that was not a good hockey team. Ryan Reeves was on it.
Ryan Reeves? That's the name that stood out to me, too.
Why would you actively seek Ryan Reeves' services? Anyway, I quote tweeted his roster and put, there's a reason Craig Button isn't working in the NHL anymore.
Yeah, there's a reason why he's a former
he's
GM.
He's the guy who traded Jerome Iginla to the Flames from the Dallas Stars. So a little hockey knowledge for y'all. But yeah, like the Vegas Knights, I'm going to call them the Knights. I'm stoked. Like, I got to say, it's a new team, first of all. It's a new thing to talk about. Excited to see the jerseys. Excited to see what the roster looks like. The arena apparently is amazing, the T-Mobile Arena. We're going to a game.
We have to.
We're going to we're going to multiple games.
Yeah, I mean, Vegas, it's a short 8.5 hour drive from here.
Yeah, and it's like an hour flight.
Yeah,
we're flying.
It's an hour flight. We would definitely fly. We would be on the party bus for sure.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just going to be fun. Like, it's right there in one of the entertainment capitals of the world.
The
entertainment capital.
Viva Las Vegas.
Like, we're going to go.
I mean, like, let's just, like, forget this expansion draft crap. Let's just talk, let's get down to it. Like, there's going to be a hockey team in Las Vegas.
Sin City. There's going to be sin bins in Sin City.
Like, there's going to be professional hockey at its highest level played in Las Vegas 41 times a year.
Dude, prayers for those, like, dehumidifiers. Like, it's going to be the hardest working arena in the league.
Yeah. It's state of the art, apparently. Apparently, it's a state of the art arena. So, yeah. Look, I'm beyond stoked. I think that Golden Knights, it's kind of like not maybe the catchiest name, but I think it's going to be cool. I think that I'm confident they're going to come out with a good uniform. I already like the logo. I think the Spartan helmet looks pretty sick. Yeah.
And it has that V for Vegas, very subtle.
Yeah,
I'm a fan.
You can go to, well, they have their own official website now. Like, yeah, the whole thing, it's like they're even selling apparel already, which is smart.
They're already verified on Twitter.
I'm buying, like, whoever their first pick in the expansion draft is, I'm buying a jersey or like a T-shirt, like a Scherzy, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
Scherzy, yeah,
Max Scherzy.
Like, I mean,
stop. shut up, Dad.
They're gonna have a good team.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully.
Because, like, every team is going to have to sacrifice a couple of protected picks for guys they have on NMCs. And if the Anaheim Ducks have proven anything, it's that no movement clauses aren't always wisely given out.
They're
Kevin Bieksa.
Apparently, they're a frivolous thing to Bob Murray.
Yes, Bob Murray just, yeah, it's like, oh, you want to join a team here? Why don't you just take a no-trade clause while we're at it here? You didn't ask for it, but I'll just give it to you.
You can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.
But yeah, I'm, man, like, a new team. It's crazy.
We should,
like, I don't know how else to put it.
We should plan a New Year's 2018 trip.
Actually, you know what? I'll lay it out right now, because hopefully by 2017, actually this time next year, maybe even 2018, we'll have we already have a loyal listener base, but by then I'm sure it'll be even greater and bigger. Us, all three of us plus our listeners, let's all go to Las Vegas and catch an NHL game. That'll be fun. Maybe even record a podcast in the Venetian,
yes,
before we go out or something.
Yes. Yeah,
that would be fun.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah,
and then we could do a post-mortem after we go out.
I think it's smart, because look, like, professional sports is an entertainment product. Why not put one of the most popular forms of entertainment, professional sports, in the entertainment capital of the world,
yeah,
Las Vegas. It only makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, like they say, it's a business. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like, why not?
And that, and yeah, and one of the few times where when they say it's a business, it actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but anyway, yeah. So, Vegas, excited. Injuries, bad.
Yes. Brent Burns.
Brent Burns, good. You have to be at work, Nick, in, A bit over 4 hours here, so
I will be sleeping in this very chair.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, good pod, guys.
Good pod.
I gotta say, I didn't expect the conversation to get so existential about the Sharks, but I'm glad it did, because I think it was a good conversation.
It's a conversation that we've been having in our heads for years, so.
I mean, I didn't even realize it, but it makes sense. Like, the Sharks are gonna face extremely difficult decisions this summer, mm-hmm, and, like, as we've seen with pretty much every team time and time again, it's always a roll of the dice how they handle it. You know, like, you look at how the Anaheim Ducks handled this summer, and, like, they went totally, I think, a way nobody really expected.
Antoine Vermette.
Especially with Bob Murray, who like was GM of the year 2 years ago.
He was making smart moves a few years ago. Like, yeah. He looked like a smart guy. Now he does not.
Yeah, and so, and I think Doug Wilson is just as much an up and down kind of GM. So
yeah,
we shall see. Keep an eye out for that. But hey, there's a lot of hockey left to be played. Like I've been saying this whole time, my gut still tells me the Sharks will romp and stomp their way to the Western Conference Final. But we'll see.
We'll see. That's the kind of note that I like to go out on.
Yeah, I try to end it like on a positive note so we don't lose our San Jose following, which is like happens to be where we live. But yes. Yeah.
We don't want them showing up with pitchforks and torches.
Yeah, to the Garage.
Yes. But anyway, guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, you can subscribe. I have so much trouble with that word. You can listen to us on iTunes. Listen to us on iTunes and on Stitcher. We also appreciate a 5-star rating and review because it helps out the show. You can do that on iTunes. It takes just a moment. You can tweet your questions or comments to us at Garage Hockey Pod on Twitter. Guys, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.